Hey teachers, hey readers, welcome back to another Third Thursday. I read a butt ton of books in July and unfortunately did not have the same capacity in August for what I have called the perfect storm. I read almost all of the books that I review, and I mean almost all the books that I just read in life. On my Kindle by loaning them from our library, and I have been on the wait list for probably half a dozen books since February. And I noticed like a month and a half ago that I was creeping up the list and creeping up the list, and I was starting to get really excited. But then I also was like, wow, all of these books are kind of estimating the same like available time. That would really suck if all of these books became available to me in the same like chunk of time, which is exactly what happened. So this past month was a little tricky for me because I started reading a book that I couldn't finish before I had to return it. Then I started a book that I could have finished before I returned it, except I got caught in this perfect storm where four more books came available at staggered times, but essentially for the same 3-week period that I really did want to read, and knew if I missed these four books that I would have to go all the way back down the list. And their lists have been super long. As I mentioned, I've been waiting since February. So I have only 3 reviews this month, and actually I only finished, start to finish, one of those books. So I'm going to talk about every book, don't worry, but it's certainly not going to be as time-consuming as it was last month. You're welcome. The first book that I started out with after my marathon in July was Rising Strong by Brené Brown. This book has a 4.25 average star rating on Goodreads, and it was published originally in August of 2015, so I'm sure it's available at libraries. Obviously, you can also order it on Amazon, and I would assume, just given how like trendy Brené Brown is right now, that it's probably also still available at bookstores near you, if that's where you prefer to read your books. So here's the summary of Rising Strong. The physics of vulnerability is simple. If we are brave enough, often enough, we will fall. The author of Daring Greatly and The Gifts of Imperfection tells us what it takes to get back up, and how owning our stories of disappointment, failure, and heartbreak gives us the power to write a daring new ending. Struggle, Brené Brown writes, can be our greatest call to courage, and Rising Strong our clearest path to deeper meaning, wisdom, and hope. Okay guys, here's the deal. Brené Brown is super trendy, and I get it. And I'm totally into her ideas. I think that we do need to be more genuine. We do need to be more honest, that it's not a problem if we fail or are disappointed. Her book, Daring Greatly, like the whole basis of her book is basically my favorite quote. But I have no idea why I cannot finish her books. I have owned Daring Greatly for 4 years, and I've never made it more than halfway through. Earlier this summer, I attempted a different book of hers, and I'm totally blanking on the title now, and only made it like 20% through. I will say, in defense of Rising Strong, this is definitely the one that I've made it through the farthest. I think that when my ending, like when my library loan ended, that I was around 50% through, maybe even a little farther than that. But I will say this one read, not like the most reasonably to me, but this, it just felt like, I don't know, this one I felt like I was able to get through more of than her other books. And I totally can't see the other book that I read right now. I think it might have been Braving the Wilderness that I started reading earlier this summer and ended up not finishing. But I don't know. I know she's super popular. I know people are really into her right now. Like, Oprah loves her, and she has all these TED Talks. And I, like I said, I'm super into the idea. And I don't know why that I can't like in physical actuality accomplish reading one of her books. But because I enjoy listening to her interviews, I just, for whatever reason, like I cannot get on board for the book. So I wouldn't tell you not to read it. I'm just telling you that I can't read it. But like I said, I mean, the books are popular. They all have over 4 stars on Goodreads. So if you feel like this is kind of your genre, if you're kind of into this type of thing, then I think that you would probably enjoy it and accomplish it quickly. But for whatever reason, like I said, I just really have had a hard time finishing her books. The second book that I also did not finish this month was Present Over Perfect. And the full title is Present Over Perfect, Leaving Behind Frantic for a Simpler, More Soulful Way of Living. And this author is Shauna Nyquist. And I've actually wanted to read this book for quite a while. I originally came across it listening to Oprah's Super Soul podcast, which I find like moderately embarrassing, but true. I totally like to binge that podcast, Super Soul Sundays, I think is what it is, while I'm doing other stuff. And she was on like one of the earlier episodes of Oprah's Super Soul Sunday, I think is the name of her podcast. And I've been intrigued by this book since then. And I'm really into the idea of this book. And I will say the reason I didn't finish this one was because of The Perfect Storm, where all of these other books with crazy long wait lists came up, and I just couldn't finish them all in 3 weeks. So this book actually has just a touch under a 4-star rating, 3.85 on Goodreads, and this is the summary. Live a life of meaning and connection instead of pushing for perfection. A few years ago, I found myself exhausted and isolated, my soul and body sick. I was tired of being tired, burned out on busy, and it seemed almost everyone I talked with was in the same boat, longing for connection, meaning, and depth, but settling for busy. I am a wife, mother, daughter, sister, friend, neighbor, writer, and I know all too well that settling feeling. But over the course of the last few years, I've learned a way to live marked by grace, love, rest, and play, and it's changing everything. Present Over Perfect is an invitation to this journey that changed my life. I'll walk this path with you, a path away from frantic pushing and proving and toward your essential self, the one you were created to be before you began proving and earning your worth. Written in Shauna's warm and vulnerable style, this collection of essays focuses on the most important transformation in her life, and maybe yours too, leaving behind busyness and frantic living and rediscovering the person you were made to be. Present Over Perfect is a hand reaching out, pulling you free from the constant pressure to perform faster, push harder, and produce more, all while maintaining an exhausting image of perfection. Shauna offers an honest account of what led her to begin this journey and a compelling vision for an entirely new way to live, soaked in grace, rest, silence, simplicity, prayer, and connection with the people that matter most to us. In these pages, you'll be invited to consider the landscape of your own life and what it might look like to leave behind the pressure to be present and begin the life-changing practice of... simply being present in the middle of the mess and the ordinariness of life. So like I said, this book didn't make the final cut just because I had all of these other books with much longer wait lists that came available at the same time. I think that I ended up getting like 30 or 40% through, maybe not quite that far. But I will say that I did really like the book. It's, for me, I don't often find nonfiction as engaging as fiction. Well, I guess engaging is the wrong word. I just don't find myself wanting to like abandon my chores and let my children eat like Cheetos for dinner when I'm reading nonfiction. Every once in a while, yes, but not most of the time. So it wasn't like taking over my life, but it was a pleasant read. I liked it. I was reading it every day at lunch. I was into it. And like I said, the only reason I didn't finish it was because all of these other books became available. I think that her premise is very relatable. I especially think it's relatable if you have children. and you've like feel that pressure of being a perfect parent. I just think there's a lot of implicit pressure in life right now. And I did not make it to the part where she talks about the changes that she made. So maybe I wasn't quite 40% of the way through the book, but she was just the part I read. She was narrating a familiar tale where you're just constantly busy, and she talked about how she would fake rest where like her husband and her kids would be relaxing, like watching a movie or something, and she would ostensibly be relaxing as well, like in her pajamas or yoga pants or something, but their full attention is on this movie that they're watching together, whereas she is in her pajamas watching this movie, but also cleaning up the table or folding some laundry or organizing something. And so how that kind of over time made her feel like burned out, but also a little resentful. And so like I said, I didn't make it to the end. I don't know what like ultimately made the transition or transfer, like what was the push for her to make this transformation. But this is a book that I will loop back for. I will put myself back on the wait list for it because I was enjoying it. And it didn't take me when I finally put a hold on this book, it only took me like a month or so to get it. So I would definitely, that's why I abandoned this one because I didn't think the wait list would be that long to get it back. So I will loop back to this one and finish it because I was really enjoying it. And if you are into this type of book, like it's like a personal essay slash memoir, but obviously like per the content, it will also like I assume it's going to tend towards a little self-helpy. But if that's for you, then I would recommend this. Like I said, I've only read part of it, but I was into it and I was enjoying it. So if you're into nonfiction, if you're into personal memoir, people that you can, I assume, connect to, I would definitely recommend this book and also the podcast that she was on with Oprah. Okay, so the first book that created the perfect storm was The Tattooist of Auschwitz. And I have been on the list for this book, y'all, not joking, since February. And not even the end of February, like the very beginning. So I was really excited to read this book. And obviously, when I realized that this was going to happen, it was a priority. So this, actually, I recently discovered. Like, this isn't going to be a series, but she's writing another book. The same author, Heather Morris, is writing another book about a different character in this book. On Goodreads, it has 4.3 stars, so people really like it. And then this is the Goodreads summary. In April 1942, Lael Sokolov, a Slovakian Jew, is forcibly transported to the concentration camps at Auschwitz-Birkenau. When his captors discover that he speaks several languages, he is put to work as a tattooist, tasked with permanently marking his fellow prisoners. Imprisoned for more than 2.5 years, Lael witnesses horrific atrocities and barbarism, but also incredible acts of bravery and compassion. Risking his own life, he uses his privileged position to exchange jewels and money from murdered Jews for food to keep his fellow prisoners alive. One day in July 1942, Lael, prisoner 32407, comforts a trembling young woman waiting in line to have her number 34902 tattooed onto her arm. Her name is Gita, and in that first encounter, Lael vows to somehow survive the camp and marry her. A vivid, harrowing, and ultimately hopeful recreation of Lael Sokolov's experiences as the man who tattooed the arms of thousands of prisoners with what would become one of the most potent symbols of the Holocaust, the Tattooist of Auschwitz is also a testament to the endurance of love and humanity under the darkest possible conditions. Okay, so as I said, I've been wanting to read The Tattooist of Auschwitz for a really long time. I really enjoy fiction based on real life, like a true story, a real life account. And that's what this was. The character, I read his name as Lael the whole time I read this book, but I don't know anything about like the way you would pronounce a name in Slovakian or Czech. So it's also possible his name is Lala, but I feel like Lael felt more reasonable to me. In any case, this guy really was the tattooist at Auschwitz. Like, he was the person who had to put the numbers on all of the incoming prisoners. And they do actually, the author collected the story and collected. She interviewed Lael over time. I think it says 2 to 3 years to get like this full story from him. I think I finished the book super late at night, guys. So embarrassing. But I think that he passed away just before the book was published. But there is an afterword in the book by his and Gita's son. So I will say what I appreciated is that it was totally a hopeful story with a happy ending. I am a complete sucker for a happy ending. So I appreciated that. And I guess though, I ultimately only gave it 3.5 stars. And I think that there are two reasons. The first reason is that I've been hearing about this book for a long time and I wanted to read it for a long time. And so I think that sometimes when you hear about things for a while and they get kind of like hyped up in your mind, it's hard for them to live up to the hype. And so I was imagining this book that was just going to be like super engrossing and I wasn't going to want to do anything except read it, and I was going to finish it really quickly. And it didn't really take me that long to read it, but I expected that this would be a book where I would like shut down my life and read it in a weekend, and that's definitely not what happened. It was good. I was obviously vested. I wanted everybody to make it out of Auschwitz, and I wanted them to I wanted Lael and Gita to find each other. As you're reading the book, they are separated around liberation. The women are kicked out of, or not kicked out, but the women are evacuated from the camp first. And then Lael and other men are evacuated later. And so they're separated when they're evacuated from the camp. So when that happened, obviously I wanted them to like reconnect and get back together and find each other. And so I liked that it ultimately was a hopeful story and not love conquers all, but it was nice that like they were able to find each other after the war ended and get married. Although they end up, I think they were living in Slovakia after the war, and Lael had a textile business and ended up in some legal trouble, and so they fled ultimately to Australia, which is why they lived in Australia. So I was really into the story. I was really happy that it was based on his real life. I was really happy that it was so hopeful and optimistic, but I think that the writing just kind of, I think that maybe, I read another review that said the author, Heather Morris, is first a screenwriter, and I think, I could be wrong here, but I think this is her first book. And so when I read that she was a screenwriter, that sort of made sense to me, because I feel like the thing that fell flat to me was at times the writing. I was engaged in the story, but I just felt like the writing never really drew me in. And there were multiple times while I was reading the book that I felt like there's never, like the characters never tell the story. The story is told about them. The story is not told by a character. And so I don't know why, but I just felt like repeatedly while I was reading, I was like, why aren't these characters telling this story? Like, why isn't anybody engaged? So I think that is for me another reason why I only gave it 3 stars. But if you like historical fiction, specifically if you like World War II fiction, I definitely would recommend this. Obviously, there are parts that are like a little bit depressing, but nothing is super graphic. I would, in fact, even allow like a teenager to read this book. Like, I remember when I was young, I was really into historical fiction, and I really liked, I felt like this to me, like, this is a kind of a weird thing to say, but I really liked Number of the Stars when I was a kid, and I almost feel like this is sort of the same vein, like ultimately hopeful Holocaust fiction. So I think if you have like a high schooler who is a reader, this would potentially also be a suggestion I would give to like a someone who was maybe like 15 or 16. Because like I said, there's obviously some not pleasant pieces, but nothing was like so graphic or over the top that I felt like it would be uncomfortable for a kid to read. So if historical fiction is your thing, if you really enjoy reading books about the Holocaust, or and or I guess both, if you're into books based on real lives, then I would definitely recommend this book to you. Like I said, the story, I really liked the story. The story is ultimately hopeful. It's very optimistic and positive. The writing just, I feel, is not going to change your life, but it is a very good book, and it's worth the whatever 6 month wait that I had. It was worth it. So I'm on to plow through my 3 weeks of like reading every single book that I've ever wanted to read. So the next book I'm going to start literally today is All the Light We Cannot See. So I know it's similar to like in content in the sense that it's also historical fiction about World War II. It's in the same vein as A Tattooist of Auschwitz, and then I have a couple other books that I'm hoping to make it through before they expire. So cross your fingers for me, because I have, if I don't make it through these books in the next 2 weeks, then I have to go all the way back and wait again. So I'd love for you to drop a comment on this on my Instagram post, leave a comment on the website if you listened there, or send me wherever you'd like. If you listened through Twitter, let me know what are you reading right now and what's your favorite genre of book. All right, guys, I'll be back in 2 weeks with some tips on heading back to school, which I'm going to do this year in fourth grade, which I haven't taught in 10 years. So, hope you guys are enjoying the end of your summer with some really great books. I'll be back in a month with more book reviews.